It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Dungeons and Dragons, and Merry Christmas! We're a D&D 5th Edition Actual Play Podcast. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, and with me today is Amy Moore.
That was a beer opening. Merry Christmas.
And also with us... It's Carla Johnson.
Happy Boxing Day. For those in Canada and the Commonwealth nations that I believe all celebrate Boxing Day, and also to Americans, maybe they're trying to make it happen there. I don't know.
Just like we made Black Friday.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Really, we stole Black Friday, and by we I mean like corporate conglomerates to try and sell us things. So maybe it worked the same. Let me keep going on about my anti-consumerism message. That's what this podcast is about.
How many Christmas presents have you bought in December?
Yeah. I spilled a lot of beer on myself.
And waiting ever so patiently, Tom Laird.
Yeah, I don't have any fun sound effects or any anti-something or other stances to make. So, hey, everybody.
Welcome. And hopefully everybody's Christmas is fantastic and was fantastic. And
Hanukkah, too.
Hanukkah.
Well, all of them. The whole Kwanzaa, dang kit and caboodle.
And winter solstice.
Winter solstice. All of those things. Mm-hmm. All of those things and more. And we're doing different things today.
Something special.
Special Christmas, New Year's type special things, which we'll get to in just a moment. But first we have a dedication to one of our lovely patrons. And today's dedication is to Dylan Powell.
Thanks, Dylan.
Hey, Dylan, thanks. You're awesome.
Thank you, Dylan. If you would like to find out more about our Patreon community, who are having a fantastic time with us over there at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast is the place to go and check it out. You know what we do have going on that we can mention is an end of year sale in our Tee Public store going on.
Oh, that's fun.
That's fun. There's some fun stuff there.
Normally Tee Public does a whole bunch of sales and it's like all of Tee Public and they're like, you can just sell it as your own. But this one we lined up especially for our store.
Ooh.
So it's just us and maybe some other people who signed up for it, but mostly just
that's
us.
Cool.
Disregard all that anti-consumerist stuff that I said. What I meant was the best thing you can do is buy some things at Tee Public from your favorite podcast.
That's right.
Give them to
and also and also our podcast.
Oh,
oh! Way to play it. Way to play it cool.
Self-burn.
There, that was good.
Self burn.
Yeah. It's okay. We didn't discuss the consumerist approach that we were going to take here in this post-winter solstice fever that we're all experiencing right now. But that's all I got. So fuck it. Let's play D&D.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So what we're doing here today, we're diving deep into a certain character who was only around for 10 episodes.
God, it felt like a lifetime.
It did.
But we're digging deep into a little bit of Grancis's backstory.
Oh, boy.
Dom with the impression.
That was good.
That's right. Yeah.
There's little Grantis in all of us, isn't there?
I mean, there really is. That's what this whole holiday season is all about.
The Grantis inside of all of us.
I think you should say, like, there's Grantis in all of us, not inside of all of us. It just makes it seem too physical.
Oh boy. We open in a classroom. There's a crest on the wall of a well-known wizarding school within Waterdeep, the El Torchul Academy. Seated among many other students, we see a young, bright-faced Grantis Ashton, studiously writing down notes at a frantic pace, while on a desk beside him, his mage hand is writing out spell materials, components, and other directions in which to add them for the spell being taught, Featherfall. We see the instructor turn to the class and pose a question. While the faces of many in the class look puzzled, Grantis's hand shoots up fast and high in the air, making those nearest to him scoff and roll their eyes as the wizard at the front of the class calls upon him, allowing him to rattle off the verbal and somatic gestures to perform a shield spell, leaping onto his desk as he does so. And as he does, a student tosses a crumpled piece of parchment across the room at him when Grantis turns and stops it inches from hitting his face. The instructor looks impressed, but asks him to sit down.
I thought for sure he was going to produce a portrait. side note, please let us know what Patronus you think Grantis would have.
Oh, gosh.
If he could produce a Patronus, if there was any Harry Potter cross.
Can a pancake be a Patronus?
I think it needs to be an animate object.
Okay.
The next scene we see is a smiling and proud Grantis standing at the front of his own class. Eager, fresh-faced students filling the chamber before him as he welcomes them all to the best class to learn about magic and mashed potatoes, giving a sly wink as he begins a lengthy lecture on the studies of evocation. At his home, Grantis bounds up the snowy steps and bursts through the front door, yelling, "Honey, I'm home!" A very pregnant woman comes down the hall, wringing her hands on a dish towel, greeting him with a big hug and kiss, and Grantis says, "Oh, Margie, you're the most beautiful woman in all of Toriel. I can't wait till we meet our little one. Oh, boy. Poor girl."
Trying so hard not to laugh.
The home is decked out in winter solstice decorations. We flash forward, but only a few days, to a windy night, and Grantis is hurrying a bundled Margie to a carriage, and they rush to the guild hall of the order. Lightning crashes over the guild hall, and we hear the sound of a baby cry out. Inside, Grantis is seen holding his newborn baby girl, and it looks like he's been crying. He says to the baby,
"You are the most beautiful girl in all of Toriel, Grantis. Your mama loves you so very much. I promise to keep her alive in our hearts."
The scene fades, and it looks to be a few years later. We see Grantis in a similar classroom. He's at the blackboard, furiously writing, calling out instructions. A mage hand appears and appears to be writing over top of previous directions already given on the blackboard. He turns and yells out to the class, "If you can't keep up, you're never gonna make it!" He turns back to the blackboard, writing over top of what he was already writing, mumbling to himself as he tries to remember what he was saying. Later in the day, Grantis is seated by himself in a tavern, drinking a tall mug of ale. It's crowded in the tavern. He's looking down at the table when a page appears in front of him. He looks up but doesn't see who might have left it in the frenzy of patrons. Reading it out loud, he says,
"Looking for adventure? The cunning guard want you, me? You, Meet at the Yawning Portal tonight at midnight.
Grancis arranges for his housemaid to watch Grant's scene for the night and heads out to the Yawning Portal, where we see him sit down with three other patrons. A long-haired male, who we recognize as Thaddeus Sicker Crumupple. An elven woman named Millie, Thaddeus's wife, and a burly fighter whom we learn to be Romaine Broadsword. The group has a discussion when we see a sparkle in Grancis's eye. The image fades to the door of Grancis's classroom with a bunch of confused-looking students. As we see them step away, we see a sign that reads, "Gone Fishing." So the Cunning Guard go off as an upstart adventuring group. So we need a couple quick scenes that we can either just talk about or quickly act out if we need to. Probably just talk them through of some of the things that they got up to, some of the hijinks that they got up to.
Well, they probably do some, like, really mundane stuff, like caravan guarding. Because that's, like, that's an entry-level adventure
pretty standard job,
right?
Yeah.
It is. It's, yeah. It's paying your dues.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we pick up with them, and they're heading north to Luskin during a blustery, cold winter day. And as they are rounding a bend, they are attacked by hill people. How did the hill people attack them there, Tom?
Well, that's a real good question.
What are hill people? Like, from the hills have eyes?
That's kind of what I'm envisioning. Yeah.
Okay.
Some sort of chud
like
that's come above
right,
ground.
Okay. Okay, some kind of... So, not underground, so like, we'll just change that to above ground. It's a bunch of chads.
It's a bunch of chads, so why not?
I think they come at us with,
slingshots. What was that? Yeah, slingshots or a tiny bow and arrow?
Pew, pew, pew.
Tiny bow and arrow.
They are hit by a barrage of tiny bows and arrows from these halfling hill people who come over the bend.
Oh, well, I just run right up. Like, I'm a fighter. I've been so bored just, like, walking along. I'm stoked that there is something to do.
Romaine Broadsword dons his broadsword and charges towards them, barreling them down like bowling pins. Halflings go flying everywhere.
Millie keeps score.
Yeah. Thaddeus was getting a spell ready, but he noticed that, it really doesn't need any more help over there.
As the fighter charges forward and wrecks into all of these halflings, the remainder of them, seemingly having overestimated their abilities, flee back to the hills.
Shooting bows wildly behind them, arrows wildly, but saying like, pew, pew, pew.
You'll never catch us, pew, pew.
Having heard of the great mighty eagle,
right as she was drinking.
We see them scaling the side of a mountain up to a high perch where a nest for a giant eagle awaits them.
If I get up there, will there be an angry bird?
You don't know. You don't know.
We all have pig masks on for some reason. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
why.
What was happening in that game?
It's strange.
I never understood it.
This... He's quoting the movie.
It's all from the game.
The Mighty Eagle.
Yeah, he's in the game, too.
Oh, is he in the game?
Yeah.
See, I never played the game
you
that
call
far.
Upon the Mighty Eagle to just destroy shit. Anyways, you get up to... they get up to the nest, and what do they find up there?
Nothing.
But a cracked clue. Egg? Ooh, a clue. That's better. I like that better.
Like the board game Clue?
No. Like, someone was like, haha, got here first, sucker. Want your egg? Meet us at the place where the sun is broken into 1,000 colors.
What is this world you're describing? I want
know,
to know
but
more
it sounds
about
magical.
It.
Like, is it a stained glass palace? Is that where the sun's broken into 1,000 colors?
Could be.
Let's go there. Russ wrote something out, but let's disregard it and go to this mythical castle. Just kidding, Russ. Just kidding.
As you finish reading this note that I remember exactly, mythical colors and stuff, they hear a giant caw from behind them, and an eagle swoops towards them, knocking them from the nest.
Damn it, that would have been an interesting side adventure.
Grancis casts Featherfall as they tumble softly down to the ground.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
You appear in a tropical city under a blazing sun. The familiar sounds of a harbor, creaking ropes, slapping waves, heavy barrels rolling across cobblestones, mingle with voices shouting and cursing in an unfamiliar language filled with clicks, inhalations, and sing-songy words that make it sound almost musical. The aroma of unfamiliar spices and tropical fruit mixes with the wharf-side smells of fish, tar, and canvas. Beyond all that, as you step down onto the port, Port Nyanzaru is an explosion of color. Buildings are painted in bright shades of blue, green, orange, and salmon pink, or their walls are adorned with murals portraying giant reptiles and mythical heroes. Every building sports baskets and clay urns of colorful flowers, or is draped in leafy flowering vines. Minstrels in bright clothing adorned with feathers and shells perform on street corners. Multicolored pennants and sun awnings flutter atop the city walls, and a crowd of children dressed in feathered hats and capes races past you, squealing in delighted terror as a street performer, costumed as a big-toothed lizard, stomps and roars behind them. The whole city seems to be bustling, sweating, laughing, swearing, and singing. You have come to Port Nyanzaru, part of Chult. And you've come here under the premise that there is a job for you. You know where you're supposed to be, and it's not till much later in the evening, but you've heard of dinosaur races in this city.
Hey, so we got some time to kill. What do you say we go check that out? Maybe some dinosaurs racing.
Oh yeah, yeah. I want to go see some dinos. Let's do it.
All right, Romain, you're in. How about you, Thaddeus?
Is there betting on these races? Because I do like to lay the odd bet down now and then.
Oh, Billy gives him the side eye hard. So we're married.
Yeah, there's definite betting. Millie, you in for betting or you in for racing? I'm going to see if I can race one.
Well, I probably have to come just keep an eye on you guys.
I can place one bet, though, right, Millie?
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
Millie's tough.
But like,
we
hey,
don't know what kind of shit
Thaddeus
he has gambled away. He
past.
Has a problem.
Exactly.
That's I kind true. Of feel like he has.
I'm on Millie's side.
You head down the streets of Port Nyanzaru to a large market ward. You enter an area where there appears to be makeshift bleachers set up all down this long path. You hear roars and snarls coming from inside a building, and you see a man standing at what looks to be an open gate. He's taking, presumably, bets from people as they enter.
Know your limit. Stay within it.
Lotto.
Thanks,
money.
British Columbia Lottery Corporation.
Isn't there a different one for Alberta? Why do you have the... Or is, yeah, that's BC. Huh? Man.
That's BC.
That's some good advertising. It's in your brain.
Don't chase your losses.
Lottery very often.
We just know it's there.
Okay.
Right. Well, let's go see about that betting.
Okay, yeah.
I wander on over to the guy taking the money and say, what's the deal here, good sir? What kind of odds do we got going on?
Oh, you're looking to make a big bet, little bet? What are you looking to make?
I just like to bet, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, okay, I get you.
As I'm kind of twitching.
Can we,
We got some...
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, we got some good odds on the racers today. We got Big Honker, 7-1. That's 7-1. You think you want to put a little money down on him?
I mean, that sounds pretty good. What else you got?
Can we go look at the racers, or we just gotta like get the information from you, or what?
Oh, you're new around here.
Yeah.
Yeah, our first time here at the Dino Races.
Oh, okay. Yeah, come on, step right in. Let me take you and see the racers.
And he walks you into a stable area, and you see, lining where you might otherwise see horses, you see large, young dinosaurs, for the most part. He walks you in and he says, yeah, this one here, he's the 7-1, he's Big Honker, everybody loves him. As you can see, a lovely Tyrannosaurus Rex, look at those legs. I mean, you catch him in the Unchained race, he's probably gonna be your best bet, but, you know, I don't know what kind of things you're into there. He continues you walking down, and you step before a young Triceratops. And he says, this is Ooptow's favorite. He's only 5-1, but it's still pretty good. You know, if you're looking to make a little extra coin.
Now is that his name, or is there someone named Ooptow that's his favorite dragon?
Yes, and both. And it's a dinosaur, good sir.
Oh,
I'm sorry
my
if
bad.
I said dragon.
You probably said the right thing.
He's new here, right? Yeah. You guys are bringing him on the tour around town. I get you. He walks you down. This one here, it's a Hadrosaur. A little bit slower, but still good odds. 3-1. Banana Candy's its name.
I slapped that. It's like Banana Candy.
And I nod back like, okay, yeah.
Okay, good. Now we're getting into some risky business, okay? These ones are like 2-1s, 1-2s, 1-3s, you know, and then you get down to the Istis like 1-7. So we got Bone Cruncher, the Allosaurus, Grung Stomper, the Ankylosaurus, Scarback, another T-Rex there, I don't know if you can see around the corner, and we got up this side here, we got Nasty Boy, the Allosaurus. We got Jungle Princess, who's a Deinonychus, and Mountain Thunder. She's old, but, you know, she still has some fight left in her.
What happens when they don't have any fight left in them?
They go to a happy place.
You send them out to a farm, and they can run around for a while?
It's
a dinosaur farm. They live in the trees. They eat the vegetables
in
and
the
trees? And the yeah.
Within the trees.
Not like inside the trees, lady. Like, they live amongst the trees.
Now, question.
Where the dinosaurs live.
What kind of transport do these dinosaurs... Do they take, like, a dinosaur train to get out to these farms?
You're terrible. You waited
right
until
you were
I started drinking.
Drinking.
Now I've got dinosaur train stuck in my head. Never gonna leave.
What's a train?
It's a mode of transportation.
Interesting. Well, we don't have those down here yet. We got boats and we got they just walk because they're dinosaurs. So, all right. So, you guys all looking to bet?
We're together.
Paisley wants to bet.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's three bones.
Hey, what's cost to riding in a race?
Well, I don't know. Who's racing here? I mean, we've got a couple that don't have a rider today. Anybody who's looking to partake? What's your riding of animals abilities?
I mean, not very good on my account. I just usually like to bet on them. I don't do much riding.
Sounds like you want to ride it.
No, I said the exact opposite.
This riding take gotta be a pretty good athlete to ride, I guess, hey? So I'm a remarkable athlete, so...
I bet. You look like a remarkable athlete. You look like you'd take out anybody here.
So...
Not me.
How do we ride these things?
You hop onto them?
Not... Okay, I mean, I guess I asked that question, but I meant, how do we facilitate us being able to ride on them? We gotta pay you, or...
Okay. You tell me how good you are at riding animals, and I'll put a little, we'll put some odds against it. You win some money, it's good for us, it's good for you. You have a little fun riding a dinosaur.
I'm very good.
I will watch.
Yeah, I'm gonna ride the dinosaur, yeah. No,
Grant,
let's do
are
it.
You sure that's a good idea?
Oh, fuck yeah, but.
Okay. I mean, okay. I'm just gonna place a bet on, what was it, banana candy? Was that the one, Millie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think banana candy was the one that she seemed to have her eyes on. Very well trained. I wish the best for your bet. How much would you like to put down?
Millie, how much am I allowed to put down? I mean, what do you think? Like 10? Just 10?
10 gold pieces. 10 gold.
All right, we're going to throw 10.
Gold piece. All right.
Is there any sort of concession stand around for maybe like a jumbo hot dog or anything while we're watching the races?
Yeah, you betcha. Yeah, you betcha. We'll get these two outfitted here on their riders on their animals of choice, and you guys can go head out there to the concession and get yourself a prime seat.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Awesome. Don't die, you guys.
Yeah, be safe.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Totally.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally not gonna die. It's fine.
So you guys head back out to get your jumbo hot dogs. Mm-hmm. Which totally exists in this world.
Yeah, is there the possibility of getting a giant foam finger while we're there as well? Maybe a souvenir stand?
Mm-hmm. Not foam, maybe, but maybe like...
Yeah, sure. Metal?
Giant metal finger?
Metal.
Yeah.
You can't wave
it's like a big armor finger.
Sure, yes.
there's a large finger made out of like... It's made out of like... Yeah, probably bark.
Okay,
bark would probably be a good facsimile for that.
What if there's, like, a magician there, and they, like, can do, like, some little, buy a little mage hand thing, so you, like, have a big...
Oh, that'd be fun.
Like, mage hand finger, somehow.
I like that.
Yeah. That's fun. Not so heavy. Yeah. Light. Light as anything.
Yeah.
I like it. They sell you a ring of mage hand that has one charge in it. Lasts for, like, 10 minutes or so. Yeah, let's do that.
Perfect.
So you guys go find a great seat with your ring of mage hand and your large snacks. We'll get you two who are sitting out to play other racers in the race, so you're actually doing something.
Okay.
Sweet.
I feel like I'm getting to play without the risk.
Well, there's no risk. Who the fuck's Romaine Broadsword? I don't care about this dude. Also, he is not just a cocky asshole. He's actually really actually good at this. I'm reading... Equipment's last. I hadn't got there on the character sheet yet. He has a warhorse. Like, he legit is a good rider.
He's a good rider.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how this racing is going to work...
You get my rainbow.
It's a deck of cards, and you have to predict what the... a series of dice, and
oh,
it's...
don't make it complicated. We're so dumb, Russ.
It's not complicated.
Good.
So, racing. A race runs a length of 300 feet. So the race itself will determine how, you know, you jump over things, you do that as we go here. But every round, each rider makes a wisdom animal handling check, and the DC is different for the different types of dinosaurs. With each success, the animal moves forward its speed. So some go 50, 40, 30, 50 is the fastest they can go. We will keep a running tally. If the check fails, your turn does not increase. When someone equals or exceeds 300, that dinosaur crosses the finish line, and that racer wins. A racer can try to move the higher listed speed, so it almost doubles the numbers in some case. They say it would be, you'd roll with advantage. Essentially, it'd be like whipping or lashing the animal to get it to go faster.
What about just like a gentle encouragement?
Sure. However, it's got to, the dinosaur then has to succeed a constitution check. And if it doesn't make it, the speed is halved for the rest of the race.
Ooh.
So no initiative is involved. Riders can make their animal checks in any order or all at the same time. If two or more dinosaurs cross the finish line in the same round, the one with the highest tally wins. If the tallies are the same, the racers are tied. In the event of a tie, brawls are likely to break out in trackside betting pools. Do you guys want to do an unchained event where dinosaurs can attack each other, or do you want to just race it?
Well, I think we want dinosaurs to attack each other.
Okay.
I can't speak for everyone, but I mean...
I mean, I'm down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'll give you your plus attack. Depending on which racer or which dinosaur you pick, I'll give you some hit points and what damage they have.
Do you want to just roll us dinos? It seems more fair that way. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that works.
I agree.
So there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So of course there's 9. There's no D9. Amy, you are going to be racing Jungle Princess, a Deinonychus with a frightened jockey.
Awesome.
So a Deinonychus has a speed of 40, and if you whip it, it goes 60. Has a skill check DC of 12. So when you roll your animal wisdom handling one, that's what you have to meet or beat. Tom, you're going to be racing Mountain Thunder, the aging Dimetrodon.
Excellent. Mountain Thunder.
Wait for a really good fight.
A Dimetrodon goes 30 and 50 if you whip it.
What if I whip it real
skill
good?
Check. Then it would go 50.
Then you add that to the Spotify playlist and move on.
Perfect. Mm-hmm.
That's right. The skill check DC is 8. Carla,
yes.
You are going to be racing Big Honker, the crowd-pleasing young Tyrannosaurus Rex. So the Tyrannosaurus Rex moves a speed of 50, and if you whip it, it goes 100. Has a skill check DC of 18.
I feel like he's quite good in comparison.
This is why it was better that we didn't pick, because this is crazy.
Well, we need banana candy in this race, so that...
So Grancis will
Grancis
pilot it.
Will pilot Banana Candy, the well-trained Hadrosaurus. Hadrosaurus, move 40 or 50, skill check DC of 10. All right, so you got your dinosaurs. We'll get you out to the start race, and then everybody just head for the end line. And this is an unchained event, so anything goes. If you feel like you need to take a strike at something, go for it. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm a frightened jockey.
Good character work.
What's your jockey's
name? Shut up, Carla.
What's your jockey's name?
My jockey's name is Reginald.
I had already forgotten that you were scared, so it was good character work. I was sincere.
And Tom, what is your jockey's name?
My jockey's name is Manos.
Of course it is.
Why wouldn't it be?
Well, hello there. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. Merry Christmas, happy winter solstice, and as soon to be, happy new year to you. Thank you for joining us for episode 68 of Dungeons & Dragons. Oh boy! Hope you're enjoying this return of Grancis. I know I do. I can't speak for everyone else. They say they had fun, but that it also reminded them why Grancis was so irritating. Oh boy. Starting today, December 26th, running through January 2nd, over in our T Public store, linked in the description. When you visit, make a purchase, and enter the promo code DUMBDRAGON at checkout, you'll receive 30% off your entire order. We've partnered with TeePublic to be able to offer some amazing savings to you to round out this year and to celebrate 2018, because it's been filled with tons of milestones for the, not only the podcast, but for us personally. And we're so happy to have been able to share that with you. So one more time, visit our TeePublic store, make some picks, and enter the promo code DUMBDRAGON at checkout to get 30% off your order from December 26th through January 2nd. It's the holidays, so I won't keep you much longer, but just a reminder, you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where for a monthly pledge, you can join the amazing community of people who help us make this show better with every single episode. And if you listen to us and love the show we're creating, a review or a share of an episode to a friend or family member goes a long way. And to thank you, we're going to get back to reading those reviews. I know there's a couple in the queue, but we've just kind of worked so far ahead that we haven't had the chance. So once we're caught back up, we'll get back to reading those again and thanking you for being amazing. You can find all of our social media links and where to get a hold of us through our website, dumbdragons.com. And a big thanks to Sirenscape for some of the amazing atmosphere in this episode. Make sure you check them out at sirenscape.com to bring your games to life. Links for everything mentioned today can be found in the description. The next episode will be out next Wednesday, January 2nd, where we'll continue this Grancis adventure. Have a great week. We'll talk in the new year.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have like a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you get out to the start race, and there is a countdown. 3, 2, 1, go! And everybody is off to the races. Everybody make your... No initiative. Everybody make your check.
So this is the skill DC?
Animal handling. Yeah. I made mine.
Plus animal handling.
All right. I got a 22.
12. I got a 12.
Got a little too much to handle between your legs there. Don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
It's true.
Meanwhile, my guy's doing real good, but I feel like he's got, like, saucer eyes. Like, Reginald really just shouldn't be here. Like, maybe he lost a bet. Or
because what was your roll? Like,
I rolled a 15 plus 7.
Oh, damn, girl. I mean, damn, boy. Because you're right.
So, and Tom, you made it because you got higher than me.
Yeah, 17 for me.
Great. When can I bite someone? Because I'm not doing well in the racing part.
I'm going to grab the first tail that goes by. Yeah.
Make that decision now.
Great. I want to bite someone now.
Okay. Roll to attack. And who are you biting?
Whoever Grancis is riding. I can't remember.
He's riding...
Not banana candy.
He's riding banana candy.
Oh, no.
He's been on banana candy. God damn it, Carla.
This does sound delicious.
You know, in your defense, I understand.
So that is a 24.
24 hits. As the start bell goes... Yeah, I'm going to say that stops my guy's movement. And then roll for damage.
16.
Holy shit.
That would have killed my dinosaur.
Banana candy? Just call my dinosaur banana.
But as the Stark bell goes, Mountain Thunder and Jungle Princess leap off of the start line as Big Honker takes a big chomper out of Banana Candy, who is knocked to the ground as she is trying to leap out in front.
It's really rude. I feel like she took, like, one step, and Big Chomper got her tail. It was just, like, faceplant.
Yeah. It was rude.
We cut back to the crowd, and we see the mage hand that did have, like, the number one finger in the air has now been changed to just an upside-down thumbs down.
You don't think this bloodthirsty dino racing crowd is into this? They're into it. That's
yeah,
my
but
big
our best just got chomped.
Oh, I see. Lily is screaming from the sidelines.
Your specific
we bet on this,
one.
You ass.
Your specific one. I thought you meant, like, the whole crowd.
Yeah.
I was like,
no,
the crowd has not turned
against
me.
Mage
they
hand
love
rental.
It. Yeah, no, no. That's fair. That's fair.
Okay, so the T-Rex is on top of the Hadrosaurus, and the Dimetrodon and Deinonychus have jumped forward 30 feet each.
Shouldn't I go 40 feet?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
40 feet.
Just testing me.
Clearly showing the efficiency of proper riders of dinosaurs, obviously. Beginning of round two.
Ooh. Oh, yes,
23. The Hadrosaur is going to hit at the T-Rex as it is on top of it with a crit 20.
Damn.
Ooh.
We're going to see some dino murder.
So you made yours, Tom?
Oh, yeah, I made mine.
Critical fail.
Okay, oh, no.
Mountain Thunder kind of sits down and takes a little break because she's getting older.
She's very old, yep.
Yeah.
And it's like a freestyle Manus race, just sitting so there she can like, do whatever she wants. What?
Whereas Jungle Princess surges forward another 40 feet, and the damage to the T-Rex... that's going to be 11.
Ooh.
11 damage
that
to
is
you.
The most of the damage.
What does T-Rex do there?
Oh,
did you
I
try to run?
Got an 11. I rolled an 11.
To hit or to run?
To run. I
you're
care.
Being attacked right now, too.
Yeah, you
I got to
so
fight
you're,
back. Right. Right,
you
right.
You don't have to. I mean, you can, but...
Okay, yeah, I'll fight back. That's a 24.
Yep, that's going to hit.
And that is 14 damage.
So as the Hadrosaur strikes the T-Rex, it rears its head back and snaps the Hadrosaur's neck. And Grancis yells, "Oh, what are you doing? I just wanted to raise dinosaurs! Fuck!"
I play this game to win.
Alright, so Grancis and the Hadrosaur are out. Alright, everybody roll your round.
God. We cut back
Millie's
to Thaddeus
pissed.
In the crowd, and he's on his knees, arms in the air. Banana candy! You were too beautiful to live.
11 is just not quite.
Oh, that's better. I got a 22 that time.
Oh, good one. I got a 10. So great.
Carla, what's happening?
Hey, I'm real good at chomping. I'm not very good at moving.
Yeah, roll again there, because you guys are now separated. Everybody...
Yeah, I'm ahead.
Yep.
17. That's a good...
Okay.
Oh, can I also pee? Can my...
Roll to pee?
Can my dinosaur roll to pee, like, urinate while she's running to make the course, like, slick and or disgusting for
sure.
Other dinosaurs to run through?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it. You don't have to roll to pee. You can just pee.
Okay, I just want to pee.
Or tell me how Reginald tells your dinosaur to pee.
He, like, tickles her in the ear, like the ear hole that lizards have.
Mm-hmm.
And good. She just pees.
All right. Either of you moving?
I rolled a 12. Can I move yet? No?
Maybe start lashing your dinosaur.
No, I love it. Okay. I'm just at the front like, fuck yeah, I killed it. And I'm not even moving.
Your dinosaur's just eating the other dinosaur at this point. You're like, yeah, you earned that snack.
How does Romaine react to a dinosaur that's not moving in a race where he's trying to win?
I think he still, like, is still feels like he's doing good at this point because mm-hmm. he killed that other dinosaur.
Sure.
It's sort of like this is coming from the dinosaur's perspective, but it's like when you have falcons, like, you know, people train falcons. Mm-hmm. You can only feed them a certain amount, because if you feed them too much, they won't chase the thing you want them to. Right. But if you feed them too little, they'll just be like, see you later, idiot, and never come back.
I like it.
It's a very fine line. So with this dinosaur, probably attacking right away was not my best strategy in hindsight, because the T-Rex just wants to chomp, and it did.
I feel like, though, you've changed the rules of the game for yourself. Like, I have a feeling like you have a huge hubris. Like mm-hmm. nothing ever doesn't really go your way. You just change your perception. So you're like, oh, no,
I feel like I'm
not
winning.
In it to win the race. Like, I just
fucking don't care about the race.
For the blood.
Did you see that I killed that dinosaur?
Winning.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to give you the option that the stable full of dinosaurs is now behind you.
Oh, gosh.
If I want to switch?
If you want a massacre?
Yeah, like...
It's got
he's
the taste for blood.
It's there.
Just giving you the
he's
options.
Just telling you it's there.
Oh, okay.
Jungle Princess surges forward ahead. Mountain Thunder comes upon a pea spot. Roll a dexterity saving throw there, Tom.
Roll to dodge pea?
Dodge pea.
So that's a 16 without any bonuses, so it probably went pretty well for Mountain Thunder.
Mountain Thunder just steps in. She's used to just stepping through piles of pea. And surges forward.
She's seen it all.
Another 30 feet. Roll again!
So do I have to state that I want to start whipping now before I roll?
Yeah, because it...
Okay, and what was the roll again? It was like wisdom for me and then constitution for the dinosaur?
Yeah, so you roll at with advantage.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to know
Romaine's so good at this.
Okay, so first roll was another critical fail, so good thing I have advantage. All right, much better. That's a 17.
Okay, so yeah, she will move her higher speed, which is
50. You said.
Yeah. So you surge forward and you don't move. So you actually surpass Jungle Princess. Now you must make a constant. What's going on back in T-Rex land?
Oh, I rolled a 3, so that's an 8. So I'm still just hanging out. But what I think is happening is
you're
that
just playing possum, letting us feel good about our lead.
I think Big Honker is like head up, blood dripping, kind of turns his head towards the crowd, and is just kind of like. Checking out all those soft-bodied humans. Maybe Romaine is starting to think, I don't know if this was the best choice I could have made, but I don't know. He's not a smart man.
No, that's fair. Okay, so yeah, constitution saving throw for Mountain Thunder.
That's a 14. I don't know what Mountain Thunder's bonuses are.
I give you a con plus there for...
Oh, plus 2, so 16.
Okay, so you have made it, because you need to beat a 15, so you're not moving half speed.
Excellent.
Do that again. Okay, do it again. We're at 140 feet. Mountain Thunder is currently in the lead.
You know, Carla, if you put the pedal to the metal, your dinosaur can move 100 feet, so you can basically lap us in 2 turns.
But I have to say that before I roll, right?
That was not a good roll for Mountain Thunder.
I already rolled, and I actually am moving this time, so I don't want to redo it, because I rolled a 23.
All nice. Right.
Okay, so Big Honker surges forward 50 feet. Neither of you moved?
No.
Or, no, I got a 3.
I got a 4.
stopping to smell the vendors. Okay, you get knocked over by one of the vendors there, Jungle Princess, so you're scrambling to get back up, whereas Mountain Thunder is just, like, taking a deep breath because she's very tired now that she surged forward.
Winded.
Right.
Oh, winded. Little winded. Mm-hmm. All right.
Again? There we go. 21.
That's much better. 17.
Man, I forgot to say
1. 9. It's a 9 for me? 9.
Like when you
I need to remember to say that I'm going to.
Yeah, me too.
Now that I've started to move, I think Romaine is like, well, fuck, now it looks like I'm trying, so I better fucking try.
So still in the lead, but within 10 feet, Mountain Thunder and Jungle Princess are at the front, whereas Big Honker, he's doing something.
Way back.
What number are we going to? What's winning
300,
number?
300. So you're over halfway there. The crowd is cheering as you round the final corner to head back towards the finish line. Roll.
I'm going to try to whip the dino.
Okay.
At 12, which means...
Then it beats
What does it mean if I try to whip the dino?
You roll with advantage, and then it's got to make a con save.
Okay. Well, let's see if I can do better than that, too. Ooh! I rolled a nat 20. It's really exciting.
Oh, well, the dinosaur shouldn't even have to make a con roll, then, if you nail the first one.
It's okay. What's,
Plus 3 to your con.
Yeah.
Plus a 10. You just have to beat 10.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
17.
Then you got it. So surging out of nowhere, Jesus. Big Honker runs up 100 feet behind, snarling as is being whipped by Romaine. Mountain Thunder, slow and steady, wins the race within 100 feet. But you hear the snaps and snarls of Big Honker coming up behind you. Roll again.
Okay, I want to search.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't even need to roll advantage.
Again.
24. Okay. And it's also a 24. Okay. I rolled
this. What? Can I try and search again? What are the surging rules?
You surge as many times as you want. If it doesn't make
It's like
the
I always say. If you're going to run in a race, you might as well ride a T-Rex.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What do I have to beat? 10?
10.
Well, I got 13. A crit fail on the ones.
But again, you have advantage, so.
Yeah.
13. Is 13? Do I move?
13. Yeah, so you surge. So blowing past.
Everybody.
How fast does yours go when it's going super fast?
100 feet.
60.
Okay, so blowing past everybody, the T-Rex goes to 250 feet. However, just as the T-Rex is catching up, Jungle Princess and her frightened rider, who saw that Big Honker destroyed another dinosaur and doesn't want his dinosaur destroyed, blows past the finish line.
This is his, just to be clear, this is his boss's dinosaur.
Yeah.
His boss last minute said, I'm too hungover to ride, you do it. And he's just like, he's a guy who puts a saddle on the dinosaur. Like, he's not, that's why he's so scared.
Makes sense.
As you pull past the finish line, everybody cheers and goes run down to the bookie. And a mad dash for money. You see some older people in the crowd just throw their arms down because it looked like Mountain Thunder might have won this time around. And they were pulling for her.
We all were.
But that is the end of the race. And Grancis is still at the start line. Like, I just wanted to fucking ride a dinosaur, Romaine. Jesus.
Just like comforting his poor dead dinosaur. Oh,
it's like dying in his arms. So sad.
Sorry,
is he going to name this?
Romaine's such a dick.
Is he going to name this dinosaur's baby after himself now?
Yep.
Sorry. You're right. I don't feel bad that I killed this dinosaur anymore.
No. Shouldn't at all.
Oh, that was fun. I mean, I didn't win, but I did kill that other dinosaur. That was pretty fun.
If your dinosaur didn't eat my dinosaur. Jesus.
Well, what are you going to do? It's a T-Rex eat dinosaur world, eh?
We didn't even leave the start line.
Millie comes down from the stands and was like, great fun. My favorite part was how you ate 10 gold pieces of mine, and now you owe me 10 gold pieces.
Yeah, me too, for ruining my fun. Romaine's the worst.
Romaine is the worst. And I gave everyone E. coli.
Right?
Perfect.
Hey, you don't know that yet, but you're going to find out.
Oh, God.
We flash to later on in the day, and the the group has met up with the person who has the job for them, and they give them a job, and saying a small town outside of Port Nyanzaru is being overrun and looted frequently by orcs and bugbears. Everybody agrees that they will take the job because it pays quite heartily, and we see them later in a cave surrounded by an entire tribe of orcs and bugbears. It's much larger than it was let on. They, with their backs to the walls, we see within Grancis a spark of lightning. And he lets the largest lightning bolt go into this cave. And as the dust settles, only he and Thaddeus are moving. Everyone else has died. We flash to a couple years later, and Grancis is sitting alone in his room. It's a rainy day, and he is staring out into nothing, really. When through from under the door behind him slides a letter, picks it up, and on the seal is a single eye.
Music in today's episode was by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io.
Fuck off, dog.
She's just crying. And I'm over here going, it's Hogwarts. And then you said mage hand and feathers. And I'm like, Wingardium Leviosa. And I'm a nerd.
And then.
Look at me now.
Bathrobe. Paisley had some thoughts on it, too.
Yep.
She's getting very emotional about the return of Grancis.
She's been waiting so long.
We're going, it's like it's childhood. Like, we're really getting in deep here.
That's all I'm saying. All right. Featherball.
I'm not trying to laugh.
Amy, how
so
could
tragic
you?
All of a sudden.
Your face is a smile, Tom. You
I don't know what you're talking
mouth.
About.
I was emotionally invested, Russ. I was feeling kind of sad about it.
You know
these
what?
Two wieners, cold hearted.
Amy's laughing at me.
Baby's name. I knew the baby's name was going to be Grancine, and I was just.
It lost some of the emotional resonance for you.
Yes, I primed myself for the funniness of Grancine, and then you
got side swiped by
the
tragedy.
Dying of her mother, and I was like, I was already laughing. It was too late. I'm a monster. Sorry. Would you like to do that again?
No, you stopped before, or I stopped before, so that's good.
Thank God.
So now this is where you three come in. We need to come up with three scenes, or two to three scenes, of things that they go off to do before we jump into one.
Question.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Marge doesn't sound like quite a standard lady.
Nope.
I need to, I Margie. Just can't.
Margie. She's a standout lady. Thank she you. Ain't a standard
I, like,
lady.
I like had a note like, sounds like just, a pretty standard lady. I don't know.
Right? But I just need to right now. So you're telling me that Margie died during childbirth and then Grancis named her daughter after himself?
That's right. That's exactly correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I just had to be clear.
Yep. God, I hope her middle name is Margie at least.
Right?
Jeepers.
It's not. It's Francie.
It's Grancilla.
Francis.
I mean, he did also just leave to go adventuring and, like, leave his 3-year-old daughter.
Sure,
so.
Yep.
Maybe he's not Father of the Year. We're going to find out more about that in the regular game as we get to know Grancine.
Totally.
Oh, anyway, adventures.
She's the sheep that's in front of you.
So, 7? Am I looking at that right? Wisdom.
So, plus proficiency.
7?
Sure. Let's do that.
Yep. What do you mean, let's do that?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Because it's not our wisdom plus, right? It's our actual wisdom number plus proficiency.
It's wisdom. Yeah. So
12, not plus one.
Oh, then.
Yeah.
Okay, then mine should be 20.
No.
It should be the plus
number. It's the plus number. So, okay. Yeah. Plus 7. So for Amy's, because she has a wisdom of 16, she gets a plus 3.
She's
plus
a real
proficiency
smarty.
Of plus 4.
Okay.
I'm super smart.
So I have plus 5. I'm not that smart.
I got a 22.
Do I roll a d20? How do you play this game?
Yes, you roll a d20.
This is a little peek behind the curtain for what Russ has to deal with every time we do anything slightly different.
It has legitimately been a long time since we've rolled the dice.
Anything with a skill check as well is like, come on.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Look to the sea.
Wayland's assembled a team. They're inside already.
This was a risky gamble. There will be consequences for the both of you.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
I thought you said this would be a quick in and out job!
Did I say that? I'm not gonna lie, I'm drawing a blank here, Johnny.
Peace of mind. Is that what you call it? You think that what you've given me is peace of mind?
I knew you'd come out on the other side. That's just you, right? You never give up. Unless you're giving up on me.
It's always raining in Neo Atlantis.
It can't rain all the time.
That'll be enough, Mr. Indri. Enough conversation. You have a job to do. Finish it. Kill them. Return Alex Webb to us.
The sentiment will surely get me killed in the process, but I mean, none of us get out of this life alive. Am I right?
Cybernautica Breakwall, Cybernautica Undertow. A production of Red Feather Entertainment. Presented by the Fable and Folly Network. Listen to both complete series now. Welcome to Neo Atlantis.